Hello, my good friends. This is the Friday Facebook Mailbag. My name is Drew Doherty with my good pal Nick Scherfield answering your questions from Facebook. And we start things off with this playoffs edition from Randy Harris. Randy wants to know, what are Brian Cushing and Bryce McCain doing for working back from injury, and how do they look? Thanks for that question, Randy. It's a really good one. Brian Cushing and Bryce are both rehabbing their respective injuries. Cushing's an ACL on his knee. Bryce McCain has a foot injury. McCain could come back and play in the Super Bowl if the Texans are in the Super Bowl and if he's healthy in time. But Cushing is out for the entirety of the playoffs. You're not going to see Brian Cushing here in January or February if the Texans are in the Super Bowl. But by all accounts, they're doing well, and they're coming back, and they're on schedule, maybe even ahead of schedule, Nick.
Yeah, they're both on injured reserve. Obviously, they were injured during the season. Brian Cushing way back in Week 5 at New York. McCain, I believe, is a Tennessee game in December. And, you know, both of these guys on IR. But like you said, Drew, McCain can come back. Cushing's out until 2013. We get a lot of people asking, can he come back for the playoffs? He can't, and he wouldn't be ready to anyway. It's a long process with ACL rehab that he's undergoing. But Bryce McCain, if the Texans do reach the Super Bowl, that would be the game he is eligible for return under the NFL's new rule where one player can be designated for return. It's not a given he would be back for the Super Bowl, but he could be back, and that'd be big as the Texans' nickel corner guy with a lot of speed, great in man-to-man coverage. But both of those guys, we see him around the stadium. We see him in the locker room. They seem to be in good spirits. Bryce McCain's growing his hair a little bit longer, if anybody's interested in that, I guess. But Brian Cushing looks pretty much the same, and you know they're rehabbing. They're working their butts off to get back. Cushing has spoken with the media a few times, and last time we talked to him, I think it was about a week or two ago, and he said he was ahead of schedule. If anything, he should be jogging pretty soon, within the next month or so. He's been able to do some weighted exercises and things like that. And he said the thing that's driving him is the thought of running back through that tunnel again. How good that's going to feel when he runs back through the tunnel at Reliance Stadium. He's back on the field with his teammates in 2013.
If there was any human that could come back that soon, it would be Brian Cushing, but no human can do that. The man in the middle, not going to make it. You have to be a cyborg to come back.
Adrian Peterson had an incredible recovery from an ACL late in the season. Cushing's was not as late, but I expect you'll see a very similar type of recovery, and Brian Cushing is going to look as good as ever, I would think, in 2013.
No doubt. Luis Leyva has this one. Good morning, Nick and Drew. I was wondering, what is wrong with our red zone scoring, and can it be fixed in time for the New England game? Thank you, and love your show. Thank you for loving our show. We love you back, Luis. As far as the red zone scoring, of course it can be fixed in time for the New England game. Matt Schaub has said so. Gary Kubiak has said so. They all are striving for and know that you need to score sixes instead of threes when you get in the red zone. Got to remember, in Saturday's playoff game against the Bengals, their defensive tackles got through and really rushed Schaub on that pass that was just a little hot and just a little wide for Andre Johnson in the touchdown or in the end zone. So that was almost a score there. But, yeah, they want to score sixes.
Yeah, you know, they had their issues. The good thing is they've been able to move the ball enough to get into the red zone a lot. You know, Gary Kubiak said this week he hopes they can get into the red zone as much against the Patriots as they did against the Bengals four times against Cincinnati. Of course, they only got one touchdown of it, and they settled for those three field goals inside the red zone. Each of those, the line of scrimmage is at the 10-yard line or inside. Obviously, you want to get touchdowns there. Matt Schaub said against New England, in their building, against that team, you got to have sevens instead of threes when you get down there. It's going to be about finishing. They've talked about how you have to take what's given to you in the red zone a little more, you know, not get the penalties. You know, the holding penalty they had this last week backed them up in first and goal from the 20, I think. They weren't able to get out of that. They've got to take the check downs. You know, if it's not available on first, second down, you know, take the 3 or 4 yard gain over the middle. That'll get you into, you know, a second and goal from the 5 or a third and goal from the 2 instead of from the 9 or 10 yard line. But they were very good at the red zone. Overall in the season, they were 12th in the NFL, about 56%. And the last 4 weeks is where they really struggled. They're actually 2 of 2 against the Patriots, but they lost that game 42-14. The last 3 weeks, I should say, and then the playoff game, they really struggled in the red zone. I think they were combined 3 of 13. Before that, on the entire season, including that Patriots game, they were 30 of 48 in the red zone, almost 66% scoring, and that's up there with the tops in the league. So they've shown that they can do it. Arian Foster, one of the best at scoring touchdowns in the NFL. He is the best, actually, by a wide margin this year and over the last couple of years. They can get him the ball in there. They've shown the ability to score in the red zone. They've just got to find a way to finish those drives off this week.
No doubt. Cody Caldwell has this one. Sup, Nick and Drew. Sup, Cody. I don't think that it's too early to talk about it, but what are some positions the Texans are looking to draft, and who are some of the prospects they're considering? Thanks, guys. Go Texans. Well, if you want me to get into prospects, a little too early, at least for me. I haven't done the homework yet and figured that out. But I think position-wise, you're going to see the Texans look – at the linebacker spot, both inside and outside. I think they'll look on the defensive and offensive lines. I think those are probably the three of the key areas that you'll see. I bet tight end, you know, at some point is drafted. And I just pretty much covered half of the team, but those are my guesses as far as the draft.
Yeah, you know, free agency is going to play a part in all
exactly.
this. And, you know, it's hard to say which players right now. The Texans scouting department under Rick Smith and, you know, their pro personnel and their college scouting under Mike Maccagnan, they've looked at all these, you know, prospects that are going to be coming out very thoroughly since last summer, mm-hmm. even before that, for the guys, you know, who are underclassmen in previous years who are coming out now. They've got an idea of which players they like. They'll really start to get their board set, you know, as the All-Star games take place, the Senior Bowl, the Combine, and things like that. But right now, you know, they're still, I think, you know, we still got some time. And free agency is going to play a big role. You got a lot of question marks on this team, guys who may or may not come back. Clover Quinn is going to be a free agent. Bryce McCain is going to be a free agent. James Casey is going to be a free agent. Connor Barwin, of course, the outside linebacker, a free agent. Those things will certainly play a role. Brady James was on a one-year deal as well. So inside linebacker, they've had a lot of injury issues there. They're a little bit older at inside linebacker. Like you, I would expect them to look there for sure. And then on the offensive line, right guard and right tackle, they've got young guys there, but it wouldn't be a surprise to see them address, you know, one of those positions on the line, as well as maybe always a secondary. Rick Smith always says you can never have enough corners. So I think those are some of the early positions to keep an eye on right now as we sit here in January.
Cody, it's a great question, and you're absolutely dead right. It is never, ever, ever too early to start thinking about the draft, because the Texans, there's about 20, 30 employees in the organization that are always thinking about the draft. All right, our next one is from Julie McClure Jerkovich. She wants to know, hi, Drew and Nick, I enjoy your show. Thanks for doing it. Well, you're welcome. We appreciate you watching. The last time the Texans faced the Patriots, it was a blowout. I know it would be a hard game for our team, but wasn't expecting that lopsided score. What happened to the defense and the offensive line as well, and what do you think might change in the game plan this time around? Well, on each side of the ball, you know, they had their problems. They committed penalties. They made some mistakes. And when that stuff happens against a team of that magnitude, it snowballs, it compounds, and that's what happened in that game. You're not going to see that this time around. The Texans are in a different state of mind, and head coach Bill Belichick of the Patriots said the last time, and talking about last time, is all garbage. He's not worried about what happened in December. So that's what happened, basically.
Yeah, you throw the last game out the window as far as this matchup is concerned, but you have to look at what happened in this last game, too. That's our job as we head into the game, and you know, everyone's going to be scrutinizing it. They have already. It wasn't a pretty game. It was a game that the Texans were very fired up for, a national spotlight game. Could have been a statement game for them, and it was the wrong kind of statement is what it ended up being. But like you said, Drew, if you make mistakes against this team, you know, at Gillette Stadium, with Tom Brady at quarterback, this Patriots team had the sixth best scoring offense in NFL history this season. They could put up points in a hurry, a very fast-paced offense. The Texans made a couple mistakes on offense, a couple mistakes on defense. All of a sudden, they were down 21-0 after three Patriots series. So they've got to get out to a fast start. They've got to get off to a better start, you know, not having a penalty on the first play of the game like they did last time to negate a 10- to 15-yard run by Arian Foster. You know, just play their game, don't make mistakes, and I think you'll see them try to establish a similar formula to what they did against the Cincinnati Bengals, and that's, you know, the Bulls on parade defense, swarming after the quarterback, making plays on the ball, and trying to dominate up front on the line of scrimmage in the running game. They did that against the Bengals, as Arian Foster said after that game. When we dominate the line of scrimmage, it's going to be hard to beat us. If they can get him going, if they can get that play-action game going off of that, if Matt Schaub can make some plays and limit his mistakes in his first career road start in the playoffs, it's going to be a much different game.
No doubt. We'll wrap things up with a uniform question. It wouldn't be a mailbag if we didn't get a question about the uniforms, would it?
Get them every week.
That's right. And we love them. We like answering them. Donna Block has this. Which uniforms on Sunday do the teams get to choose what to wear during the playoffs? Who gets to decide which uniforms get worn when for a given season? Well, it's an involved process as far as the season goes.
It's a lot of different question that we have.
It is, and there's a lot of different moving parts on who decides, and a lot of it deals with, you know, certain setups of themed days, et cetera, et cetera. As far as do the teams get to choose what they wear in the playoffs? Yes, they do. But you can't wear alternate jerseys. So you're not going to see the Texans wear the battle red jersey. I think that's what most people are getting at. You can't wear that because it's an alternate jersey. However, you might see the all whites, meaning white tops, white pants, Liberty white tops, Liberty white pants. In fact, running back Arian Foster says he's lobbying for it, and he kind of took credit for seeing the blue pants, deep steel blue pants and the deep steel blue tops on Saturday against the Bengals. So Don't be surprised if it's all white, and I think that's a good look.
It's going to be. It's dependent on what the home team wears. You know, the Patriots have, as far as I know, the first preference, and so you know, the Texans will have to wear their jersey in accordance with what the home team wears. So they'll be wearing their white uniforms this week, and like you said, it could be the all Liberty white look, which the Texans, the last time they were on the road was a couple years ago in
2009.
So they haven't worn that very often in road games. They usually wear it the first game of the year on home games, but they busted out the all deep seal blue for the Bengals game and seemed to go over pretty well. I thought it looked pretty good.
Me too.
A lot of the players did too. Seems like fans liked it as well. So we'll see. Maybe they go with the solid color combinations throughout the rest of the playoffs. But like you said, no alternate color. The red is their alternate color. Blue and white are the team's primary colors. So they're going to be sticking with some variants of those two throughout the playoffs.
Yes, but our blood, and I'm sure your blood, bleeds battle red. So with that, we're going to wrap this up. And we'll talk with you next week in what we hope is another playoffs edition of the Friday Facebook Mailbag.